Fan Morning Show, JD and Ailish, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Oh, now your microphone works in the morning, eh? No rookie lap this morning for me? Just yeah. Throw me to the wolves? All right, go do a couple laps there, kiddo.
Honestly, you did great. And yeah, that is, I really wish I would have done it that way, honestly.
I would have been so smart.
Now that I have, like now that it has been done, that's all I want to do is... Every week you get a rookie lap.
Every morning I got to be on my toes.
Not every, yeah, I like that you
never know when I sprinkle it in.
Yeah, you're like, oh, is it going to go? Is this stuff going to work? See, I'm more worried about your stuff because I'm looking at you and we're at our apartments. Like we're doing this remote right now. We're going to be in studio in the next couple of weeks. People are always like, oh, you're still at home? I'm like, why wouldn't I be at home? It's a 6 o'clock show. What are you, nuts? You think that we're volunteering to be like, yeah, let's get in there, let's crack it down.
There's not even TTC at that hour.
Yeah, we used to have to do COVID testing, too, like, at the... Mm-hmm. Well, actually, we still have to go back to do COVID testing at the office, which would be even more time. You'd be, like, sitting there in the morning doing your COVID
an
test.
Extra 20 minutes of knee bouncing, like, I gotta get up there, I gotta read stuff.
No. I know. So, we're still at our places, but I don't think you will be much longer because you're, like, moving further and further to your door. Like, I'm like, why is she in this spot now? You've got no AC, and you're in a high-rise.
Things are rough over here, JD.
Like, I haven't put my AC in yet, but it's fine. I just put a fan on because, like, I'm in an old apartment building, and so I just, I like, put the window units in when it gets hot.
So, I moved here to be walking distance to... Yeah. Where we work, okay?
Smart. Smart.
Hasn't paid off yet because we've never had to walk to work. But
so
secondary,
far, so good. Yeah.
I moved to a building that is 5 years old. Beautiful condo. Just amenities, stunning. I've got 360 views. You know, I pay a little more. I'm excited. Big girl move. It was fine. Remember in the winter, for our listeners, I didn't have heat for a week. And I was shivering on the air. You could hear my teeth chattering while we were on air. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, I'd rather be cold than hot. Okay, well... Here, you could test that theory. Last week, the building, whatever, property manager sends out an email saying that there's been like a leak in the HVAC system. Here I am Googling what's an HVAC system. Anyway, he's like, okay, we're gonna
No, it's all about the HVAC, you know.
It's, HVAC, getting,
it's all about the HVAC. That's what I was said too. I've been like,
yeah, I'm all over the HVAC.
Issues.
So
no,
they
say
that there's a leak and they gotta go through every unit to find out where the leak is. So that takes like about a week. And then he emails us saying, okay, we've located the leaks, and starting Friday of this week, it's going to take approximately 4 weeks for the plumbing inspector.
I like that they gave it to the Friday.
They said, we're going to start on Friday. Great. So you're basically starting on Monday. You're mailing it in. And they're going to start from the top and the bottom and work their way to the middle to find all the units. First, they didn't name the unit, so maybe I'm a unit. Honestly, I'm a little scared. Mm-hmm. They're going to find all the places that there's a leak, but there's not going to be air conditioning for 4 weeks. Okay. And yesterday... It got to, what do you think, over under of the temperature in my apartment it got to yesterday?
What, you have like a little old school thermometer that's...
Oh, you know, it says the number on, like it's one of those units on the wall where you can press up, 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 down, down, down.
Yeah, it just sits there and shows you. I'm going to say that it was, because it's always in Fahrenheit, those things.
No, I put it in Celsius because I'm not kidding around here. I live long enough in the States, I don't care.
See, I feel like... That's the only time where thermostats and Celsius, or sorry, if it's like Fahrenheit is a Canadian thing.
Okay, well, give me a Fahrenheit thermostat. Thing.
No, well, I'm gonna guess in Celsius because it's, but like, because our audience will know. But it is so fun playing the Fahrenheit game with a thermostat because all of a sudden you're like, I know everything about Fahrenheit. It's that if I want to be cold, it's in the low 70s, high 60s, and if I want to be hot, it's in the mid to higher 80s. I'm going to guess because you're actually, again, I think that you're moving towards the door out of an act of desperation. You're
I'm
like an animal
doing
that's
the
trapped
show
in a
on
box.
The balcony, everybody.
Yeah, yeah. You're trying so desperately to get to the crack in your door that I think it actually hit 90 in your apartment Fahrenheit. I think it was in the 30s in your apartment yesterday.
No, it got to 29 degrees yesterday.
Oh, and how dare you rob me of
30. No, I'm being honest to the listeners. Because you know what? Maybe today's the day we get to 30. It's going to be like 30 degrees in Toronto.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, what do you mean maybe today is the day? It's like it's factually going to be a 30-degree day in Toronto. So, yeah, make sure that you put on your sunscreen today, everybody. You're walking outside. You're doing your thing. I did the move yesterday. I got my sunburn out of the way, but you don't have to be like me. You don't have to be a total moron. And I actually put the face sunscreen on now because I'm worried about getting old. So I put all the – I need someone to explain to me why I'm buying expensive SPF creams and not just sunscreen on my face. I need somebody to break that down for me as to why it's better that I'm paying like – money for
sunscreen.
Instead
of like copper tone, I know.
Yeah, like why can't I just rock copper
fancy
tone on my face?
Sunscreen. I have the same thing. It's like you buy a sunscreen bottle for your face like $50 and you're like,
yeah. Why?
Okay. It's better make you look younger.
That's what I'm saying. Why am I buying fancy sunscreen for my face? But I actually think that the fancy sunscreen for my face is going to make my face look younger, but the rest of my body be withered and disgusting, because now I'm like false sense of confidence guy in the sun where I go, I have my SPF, so bring me another round, good maiden. Like, you know, like let's keep rolling the drinks out here. And in reality, the back of my neck is like, there's no fancy cream back here. There's no we don't have any kind of cream kicking around. We don't have any type of protection. So yeah.
Well, I'm the
like
complete
me.
Opposite in my apartment though. I have all the blinds closed because that keeps the sun out and keeps it cooler. So I'm like the guy in Benchwarmers that like lives in his house shut in with and he like eats sunscreen. So I'll send you that. You'll love it. That's exactly me. That's He's like, oh, the sun.
That's why this is where I'm such a jerk of a brother. Is that's like my sister's favorite movie, and
it's
so she's watched
good.
It 100 times.
Come
I'm
on.
Like, no, I'll never watch it.
Everyone listening will get it. He eats sunscreen. And he's hidden from the sun. That's me. Okay, so
you know what I'll watch before. I'll watch that movie before I ever watch Rangers Hurricanes Game 7 again. Like that was that was straight up work yesterday. If you're listening to the show and you're going like, what are their takes? I watched Game 7 yesterday. I'm tuning in for the take-a-roos. What do you want me to say? That was a painful, painful, painful hockey game. Like, it's over the second it starts because Carolina can't score. And there's a couple goals that go in the back of their net. Classic Ronta game where he lets in a bad goal and gets hurt. I'm like, wow, you just really went for the anti-Ranta special, didn't you? Like, you never felt as though they were going to get back into that game. There was one awesome Trouba hit, and my friends texted me that the internet had a cry about it, and I went, cool. The one nice moment from that game, the internet ruined with their crying. I just thought, wow, congratulations to the – do you know the story about Larry Bird and the three-point contest?
Probably.
It's like Larry Bird used to be this notoriously cocky guy, right? Mm-hmm. He walks into the – locker room, everybody's preparing to do the three-point contest, one of the first ones, and he looks around the room and he says, so which one of you guys is coming in second? And then he goes out and wins. And he goes out there and wins. And that's how I feel about the Eastern Conference Final, is I go, great, we're watching this game of these two boring eyesore teams going, wrap it up, guys. All right, hey, get off the ice.
You're like, run time. Start playing like Tyke where they just run the clock.
Just pointing at the watch. My nightmare yesterday was that game was going to go into overtime. I was like, please, God, no.
Close.
I know, but at the very beginning, even the first couple minutes in, I went, please don't let this go to overtime. Who's the most compelling figure in that game? Like, it's Panarin or it's like Panarin or Shesterkin?
Fox, Shesterkin.
Yeah.
Those are going to be your stars next round when you play against the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's going to be a battle of the goaltending and defensemen and unders and
I don't know. I don't think the Rangers are there yet. I did feel a little extra because everything's about the Leafs, right?
Of course.
Have main figure. What is it called? Main character syndrome. I did feel a little embarrassed for them where I'm going, the Rangers are already doing this. Like, they're supposed to be way down the developmental track and they're there and blah, 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 blah. And everyone, the most annoying take now is going to be that, well, this is proof that you need a great goaltender. Completely ignoring the fact that in the Western.
I already started seeing that last night.
No, but except for the whole looking over the Western Conference where it's like, oh.
Three backup goalies.
Yeah, Mike Smith and Darcy Kemper, who's been letting in everything, right? Like, who's just not. So the Avalanche give up, like, some of the fewest shots per game in the NHL. Like, they're a great shot suppression team, which makes that conference final so compelling. And Kemper hasn't been great. What I love about the conference finals is that they're the exact opposite. And like one is chock full of compelling star power where you go, wow, there's this like hipster thing that's going around right now where everyone's trying to talk themselves into the second storyline of the Oilers and Avalanche series. And I'm going, yeah, it's cool. You can bring up the goalies and we can do a whole bit about
of the,
you know,
Oilers storyline. No way.
No, all the teams, the both teams. There's a lot of, I get it, because not everyone wants to write the exact same piece or do the same preview on television or whatever. Mm-hmm. Some segments are trying to make it where you go around and you debate around the horn. Compelling.
Like, what's the X factor?
Yeah, X factors.
McDavid.
And previews. Yeah, that's exactly it. The last series was so cool because it was, obviously there's always going to be McDavid. He's the biggest star in the league. But it was about territorial regional rivalry. Mm-hmm. It was about team versus team. It was about those two sweaters clashing with the Oilers and the Flames. And then this round actually feels a lot like NBA playoffs, where you go, oh, this is Giannis and Tatum. Like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. cool. This is Doncic and Steph. Right? This is Curry. This is McKinnon. This is McCarr. And this is Dreisaitl. It's weird because Dreisaitl scored 17 points in the last playoff round to eliminate the Flames. And I feel like he's such a secondary storyline to McDavid. I'm like, how many points does this guy have to get to be the lead dog story in a series? That's how good Connor McDavid is you get 17 points in a series. And they're like, and the other guy is here too. It's wild. And then this other series is like, goalies facing each other. Okay.
One team. You got Adam Fox and Victor Hedman. And yeah. Goaltending. That's your selling points.
I really like Adam Fox, mm-hmm. but this is kind of the point of Hedman, is that when it push comes to shove and we do all the like, oh, who's the defenseman? I think McCarr is the most brilliant offensive guy, right? It's just, I know Yossi's racked up the stats this season and he's really, really good. But I've never had oh my god Yossi moments, whereas like you every game you watch McCarr, it's oh my mm-hmm. god, look at that guy, oh my god. Oh, look at that dude go. Right, he's Canadian. Boy, it'd be great to see him in Olympics. Like that's what I get the feelings of whenever
he's
I'm watching
like
him.
23 years old.
He's incredible.
Roman
that's
Yossi's
what I mean.
I think 30 something, so
yeah,
is that actually a factor?
I just look at Hedman as a complete class of his own. Tampa's good for the Stanley Cup Finals. You really want to get Tampa into the Stanley Cup Final because it makes such a compelling series for whoever gets there, right? Like, I saw our buddy Adam Seaborn. He had a tweet yesterday. He's like, what do television networks want? Well, they want superstar players. They mm-hmm. want dynastic teams. And so these are fitting the bill for some of this stuff. They want big markets, and that's what works for the Rangers. I just don't. I guess as a Canadian, I don't care about the American matchups, right? Like, I don't care about the Rangers being there. I really don't. I couldn't care less. I think that we have two matchups that honestly probably should be played a little bit earlier in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And this is kind of one of the byproducts that stinks. But ultimately, and justify the means here, if you get any one of these finals. Like Tampa Bay, you get the dynastic final mm-hmm. against either the biggest superstar in the league who's the 1-2 punch between Dreisaitl and McDavid that ends up being there, or you get the dynastic team versus the team that could be like the next dynasty, although they're going to probably lose Kadri in free agency and it's not going to be as easy. But either way, it's going to be a compelling finals. I'm really, really stoked on the Western Conference final, but this Eastern Conference final, like watching that game last night, that was part of it for me. It's like I just couldn't get up for the idea of, mm-hmm. wow, I can't wait to watch the next round of this. And if you do, and you're like really into the Shesterkin thing, like I won't yuck your yum, but it wasn't doing it for me. Like it wasn't doing it at all.
Yeah, and the two teams that we might see in the Stanley Cup Finals will probably be completely different opponents. Like if you get a Tampa and a, let's say, Colorado, there's that same narrative coming through. It's like, yeah, there's the little bit of a tighter matched defensive team versus this high-powered, jaw-dropping, fast-paced electric team. But Tampa does have that as well. But when you look at this Eastern Conference final, like I don't really see New York being able to put up much of a fight. Like Tampa just swept. They've been sitting around. that's the only thing that makes me a little bit like, okay, like, you know, they've been waiting. They've had a little bit of an easier road. New York had to gut it out a couple times. Is that something that, you know, moves the needle for you? I don't think so. I really think that Tampa's the inevitable finalist on that side. And
that,
the,
you know what,
all
though,
the excitement's on the Western Coast. Western side.
I agree. My only thing is that because we're all on the whole, like, Tampa's going to steamroll the Rangers thing, it just, my brain sometimes kicks into, we're going to see all the tweets. No, it's just that it's going to be the Rangers find a way to win. Apparently, Point might even come back for this series. Like, I was reading some reports that he might end up being okay. I went, I don't know. Guy's a gamer, but that injury looked so severe. We'll never get an idea on it. But, yeah, I just, I cannot see too many nights where I get, yes, I can't wait to watch this series. I can feel that way about tonight with MacKinnon and McDavid, with Draisaitl and Makar, like with Kadri and Hyman. There's just, there's all these parallels.
I mean,
parallels,
there's even like Rantanen and Landeskog.
That's
like,
what I mean.
Like, when's the last time we talked about them? Like Hyman, Vander Kane, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Cody Ceci, Tyson Barrie. Like, those are big names.
You hit a pretty steep drop off there, but yeah, you look at the top five scorers for the Avalanche, and they're exactly who you expect them to be: MacKinnon, Makar, Landeskog, Rantanen, and Kadri. Mm-hmm. Right? You look at the last series; Hyman led the Oilers in goals. I think he had 6 goals in that series. They just broke the records essentially for scoring in that series. You look at like the nerd stats: goal for percentage, number one in the NHL, 5-on-5. Colorado Avalanche. Number two, the Edmonton Oilers. If this is your over series, this is going to be kind of the one for you. And like in the playoffs, Colorado's had the best power play. Edmonton's shockingly had the fifth. I don't know how that's even possible. I guess like one team in the first round scored like twice and then they got eliminated and that was it. But yeah, there's just the goals for per game. Edmonton 1, Colorado 2. If you like scoring and you like skill and you like offense, this just has to be the series for you. There's superstar names, right? There's real superstar names. There's iffy goaltenders that are probably just going to determine a lot of these games, like which one of these guys makes a save. You've got, I would say, 3 of 4. Like if you were a non-hockey fan, and you had to start picking players to show, or you were a hockey fan and you were trying to sell someone on hockey and they'd never seen the sport before. And you had to pick some players and
McDavid,
go.
McDavid, MacKinnon, Draisaitl,
Makar. Okay, I would pick Makar over. See, I would even pick Makar over Draisaitl and probably Matthews too. Is like, I think Matthews, the wrist shot, it's gorgeous, but if you're watching it for the first time, you wouldn't be like, oh my god,
you wouldn't be able to appreciate it as much as the way, like, that those guys control the play.
Yeah, it's like Sidney Crosby I wouldn't choose as one of those like top flight guys, right? What I would choose is at least 3 of those players. I would 100% choose 3 players in my top 5, no questions asked, and they would be in this series in like tonight. I'm so excited for this. We never really get to do this. And, like, it's funny because you were watching MacKinnon and McDavid have to talk about each other at the podium, and you can see, like, they hate it so much.
Trying to get he's good. Like, I respect him. And, like, it's going to be a good series.
McKinnon's answer was like, I already said he's the best.
like okay, what else do you want from me?
Yeah, like, we just want to watch you guys play hockey.
We need another clip for our shows. Okay, yeah, say it again.
We're just like, why don't you guys just go out there and play, and we'll see kind of what's happening here between the two of you. It'll be great. But, yeah. I cannot believe how compelling this is. I can't remember a time, like, obviously Sid versus Ovi was like a real rivalry between the two players. It doesn't feel that same way with MacKinnon and with McDavid. It doesn't. Like, trying to pretend as though it does feels like a stretch to me. But this weirdly does, again, feel the most, wow, this is about star power series as anything that I can remember recently. And also, it's really good that we're going to get to watch a series where there are multiple interesting people, multiple interesting players that the public is invested in. I don't remember a time where we were all this in on a Western Conference playoff series other than trying to be kind of hockey hipsters about it, where we would go, oh, the Western Conference is a little bit better and I prefer the Western Conference game You would always get those takes around this time of year, but this is a genuine, please start these games earlier so we can all watch them.
I think they're all at 8 p.m. actually.
Are they? That's good. Well, I was going to say that I didn't even look at
the schedule. I looked ahead and looks like 8 unless they haven't like updated the schedule, but looks like every single game on my like automated schedule is at 8.
Lovely.
On both sides of the conferences.
They should have done that for the last round. But
there's a Sunday day game for the Rangers.
My point there was just simply that I think everyone's going to actually watch these games. I think that this is going to be where people put their attention to. And if it's Oilers-Tampa, you'll get more eyeballs in this country. People will care more because it is McDavid. But this could be kind of, to me anyways, the most – unless it's Oilers-Tampa, this will be the most compelling and most interesting and most watched series, I think, for a lot of people.
I would have to say I agree, which makes me not feel like, oh, there's a bit of a letdown coming to the Stanley Cup Finals. But
it's going to be a great Stanley Cup Final.
It's going to be incredible regardless. But if you look at – I was trying to think yesterday when I was like looking at the matchup, like who has the edge. And it's like one of the first times in a while where I'm like, I don't really know. Like they're evenly matched. You can go down the roster and like they have the star power. They have, you know, maybe the defending on the Avalanche is stronger, but, you know, that – Edmonton has great offense, and then you look at their goaltending for me is like the biggest, and we joked about it earlier, but like the X factor, right? Mike Smith, like, did we rely on him being the guy in the playoffs? All of a sudden you kind of have to have him be that. He was a little bit up and down around two, but if he can be a good Mike Smith, there you go for the Oilers. Same with
I think he's going to cook them. And Kemper, I don't know if he's much better, but yeah, when we're talking about blue line differences, that's where I see like the huge gap between these two teams, where it's like they've got Taves, they've got Byram, they've got
Byram,
Johnson,
McDavid, and Draisaitl able to outscore that. They've done that. You know? They just that like eliminates that at times.
I'm glad you brought that up because this is going to be one of the other interesting things about this series to me is like, if you're a Flames fan, I wonder if how much you're doing the Leafs thing of
well,
you're definitely cheering against Edmonton, right? You don't want to see Edmonton win a Stanley Cup. You don't want to see Edmonton go to a cup final. You'd like to see them join you in misery, and then you just go, okay, great, you beat us, but you lost. They're all going to be hardcore fans of that team. But I do wonder how much of the last series was Calgary sucking, because I thought it was a two things can be true where Draisaitl gets 17 points. You can't take that away from him. Hyman was a force in that last series. Nugent Hopkins came up with big moments. McDavid is obviously McDavid to the point where, again, like he's so good that he outshines a guy with 17 points. There were so many awesome things the Oilers did in that last series. Mm-hmm. But Calgary played into their game. Their stars no-showed on a lot of nights. Their blue line wasn't fully healthy, and they looked really skittish at times. And then Markstrom sucked. And so part of me goes, I'm really excited for this matchup because I think it could be closer than people realize, or it might be better, and that Edmonton might actually just be nasty right now, and they might be hitting a stride, and it's the ascension of two
superstars. I think they're peaking at the right time, it really feels like, right?
Yeah, 100%. I'm totally with you. I'm just a little concerned that they play Colorado, and all of a sudden it's, oh, right, now that Mike Smith is facing shots from a dangerous team that actually has their stars locked in. Oh, right. Now that they're facing a competent blue line that's not giving Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and Evander Kane the middle of the ice just freely all the time, that isn't just playing the way that Edmonton wants to play, that all of a sudden it's going to be a completely different series. I'm also very excited for the... Remember when it was Kadri as the quote-unquote McDavid shutdown guy? And there was that little bit of a fake rivalry between these two teams. Went to overtime. Kadri got like weird sulky buzz after facing.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see kind of how this thing plays out. And
even the Kadri Kane, like those two being able to go head to head, and like there's that type of play style that I think is an entirely different storyline about how can you be a shutdown player when you have that little bit of the guy doing the same thing on the other side of the ice, right? So that's something that we didn't see kind of previously. Like Kane, I think him and Tkachuk, like the narrative going in was that was going to be something spicy, but Tkachuk didn't really move the needle for me. So interesting to see how that one goes. But when you're talking
Tkachuk
about
was so non, like, no, that's the hardest one. That's the hardest one if you're a Flames fan. Because Goudreau was mm-hmm. – at least Goudreau had jump a lot of nights, and you always felt like it was going to be tough to keep Goudreau. But mm-hmm. Tkachuk is also up for a new contract, and he's apparently wants to break the bank, and he was so good all regular season. And mm-hmm. I laughed at Flames fans because there was a lot of discussion about them moving him the year before when he was disappointing. And then he had this regular season. He went, no, it's nuts. This is absolutely insane that they ever considered this. And now it's like, I don't know. It's not that they would ever move him. It's just simply that they, like, I don't know. It's harder after that series. Anyway, okay. Let's take a break. What's on the A-list today?
Oh, what's on the A-list today? All right. How's this for a promo? The great author Ian Fleming once wrote, "Once is happenstance, twice is coincidence. The third time is enemy action. Well, what is the fourth time? We'll find out next on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan."
The most opinionated Maple Leaf show out there. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sports 590 The Fan, JD and Ailish. Hey guys, it's Text Line Tuesday. We forgot to mention it at the top of the hour. So hit us up in the text line 590-590. You can always send us DMs on Twitter and Instagram as well. But we'll be taking your text questions, comments, suggestions for cooling systems for Ailish. I had a couple people say,
"Do you even have a fan?"
Yeah, I have a fan.
Okay, I was gonna
fan
say,
morning show.
Yeah.
I have a fan. I forgot to mention this. I reached out to my landlord. So I'm a renter.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet to purchase in Toronto. Yeah. I reached out to my landlord I actually reached out to my realtor and I said, "Hey, like, what do I ask for? Like, is this something in the contract like that I need help with?" And she goes, "Yes, I read the contract lease and you agreed to full heating and cooling from the landlord." So I was like, okay, perfect. So I messaged my landlord and I was like, "My realtor said this." And she's like, "No problem. Like, what do you need?" And I was like, "Oh, okay, you're so nice." So she purchased me a portable AC. I was
right
like,
away.
Okay. She purchased me a portable AC unit, which is on the way. It should be here in like 2 to 3 days. But the whole problem with that is all the portable AC units have that tube that has to go out the window, right? Like it's a whole thing. So you kind of have to find an alternative option. And what she says she purchased me, and maybe someone in the text line knows if this is like real or not. She goes, "I did some research and I can get you an evaporative air cooler. Sounds like it cools the room, but not as effective as an air conditioner, which needs to have the vent tube out the window." So it's like, I think this is the only option you can do without the vent
tube. I'll
tell
tube. You this right now. Whatever
doesn't
you're getting
sound great.
Is going to suck. You and,
sounds like a Yeti cooler
Bandit.
That I just opened the windows.
You're like, "Bandit, it's going to be cool in here again. Yay." And you're going to start the evaporator. It's like,
I know what it is.
She bought you. Yeah, you just got scammed is what you got.
She said if it doesn't work, we'll return it and we'll get something different.
Oh,
I'm like, well, we should already just
great.
Get onto that step.
By the time you're already cooked. No, you're going to get this evaporator. That just sounds like what are those things that, God, demisters? No. What are the things?
Dehumidifier.
No, not a dehumidifier. It's like the ones that I try not to say that it's mostly women have. You go to a girl's apartment and they always have like
a misting system.
Yeah, the little spray thing, like the.
Oh, I know what you mean. Wait. You put essential oils in it.
Yes, that's it. Thank you. I mean, that's what it's for, oils.
What is it?
Who cares? Neither of our brains work. It's already too late. It's already over. But yeah, you're
you
gonna fry in that
Send
apartment.
Us a text.
The best part about your trash
diffuser,
building,
diffuser. Daniela,
that's
yes.
it. Yeah, diffuser. Way to go, Daniela. Yeah, diffuser. You just got a diffuser. That's not gonna cool you down. you have a you live in a horrific building. I'm just gonna tell you right now. Your building is trash. You have not only no AC, and you're living up on the 1,000th floor, right? You're just like up there. And you're classic Toronto person where you go, "Yeah, I have no amenities, and yeah, I have no anything or space or any."
I have all of that, though. I'm paying for all of
that. I have nothing good except I – can take pictures of the Toronto skyline, and so it's all worth it for sunsets. I saw your poll, all right? I see you here. But I also saw you had a thing where you got to give like a $500 deposit for you to just go use your outdoor space on your roof. And I went, no, that's not a normal thing. That's not a normal condo person thing, is like you have to give $500 check to somebody to hold on to so you can use the barbecue upstairs. That's nuts. You live in a trash hole. Like, you live in a bad spot. 100% you do.
Welcome to Toronto housing. And I did put that on my Instagram yesterday, and I got a lot of people hyping me up. I'm talking to the proper manager today about that outdoor space thing. I will update you tomorrow on if I can actually change his mind. But yeah, I'm going into battle today. Not the reason I played Eye of the Tiger into
the has a check?
You have to literally go to the bank.
Yeah,
I have a checkbook, but this isn't just a regular check. They want a certified check from your bank, which is actually like withdrawing the $500. And it's like basically like, here is $500 in cash. And then you have to go redeposit it in your bank afterwards. So it's like
getting a checkbook.
Costs $15 every time. So I'm like paying to give them a check that I'm just going to put back in my bank. It's scam.
It's $15 for a check. That's too much.
Yeah,
that's too much for a check.
I know. I got to change
banks. Do you remember getting your first checkbook though? You got that?
I think I still have that same one. Like, when have I written a check?
I have no idea. Some guy out there probably has my old checkbook that I never even really wrote in. Because the only time you'd ever write a check was for your rent. You would write a check for your rent, and you'd give first and last, and that was it. And you went, ooh, this is big boy stuff. You had to go to a bank. It was like a first. It's a very early
void
adulting
check, and you
thing.
Just write void.
Yeah, you void that check. But I remember thinking, like, when you're broke, you just wished you could bring it into other places, like the grocery store, and be like, is this cool? It's like I never got to.
Trust me,
I never got to do that. I only got to use it for rent. But yeah, getting that first checkbook, seeing your name on the checks, ooh, that's a big, like, that's an adulting moment. I don't know if anybody gets an adulting moment anymore. Because now it's like first rent, first last month's rent. You just e-transfer that to somebody.
Yeah, you're right.
That's just done.
I miss the olden days. AGD.
Yeah, kids aren't getting
those youths nowadays.
They're deprived. See, this
they
is
don't
the
have
thing.
Checkbooks.
Yeah, you guys got all your internet, but you got no checkbooks. You don't know what that's all about. So that's a tough one. All right, what's on the A list?
Speaking of checks, how about some checking in this top of the A list item?
Now it's time for the A list.
Bing bong,
bing bong,
bing bong.
What's up, baby?
All right, play Jim with a little Eye of the Tiger, which is one of my favorite, like, pump up, get in the zone. I know it's cheesy, but I love it. During the 90s and early 2000s, you know this, the Red Wings and the Avalanche, one of the fiercest rivalries in the sport, maybe even in the world. Now the battle between these two teams is getting its own documentary, courtesy of ESPN on E60. So it's going to be called Unrivaled, Red Wings versus Avalanche. It's going to be a 2-hour special set to air sometime in June, unspecified when, but I'm expecting it to be maybe like before game 7 of the Stanley Cup finals. Like they're playing their cards close to their heart, but there's something going on there. Obviously there's this incredible trailer. It's about 2.5 minutes long. Can't play it all. It's obviously quite visual, but here's a little bit of a snippet. It's going to make you want to run through a brick wall, and you might hear some familiar voices in it. So let's roll that.
We were pissed. I just thought, like, I'm f***ing grabbing somebody here. Someone's getting me.
These kinds of things just seem to keep happening when these two teams play.
There's a winner, there's a loser. You'll do whatever you have to do to be on the winner's side.
Why so hateful? I would say because they're pricks.
I f***ing hate them. I'll always hate them.
Okay, well, picture that with some fighting and some blood gushing and some sucker punching. So obviously it's going to be must see TV. And they didn't just get, you know, some fringe voices. They got the big guys, Sakic, Yzerman, Shanahan, Bowman, Forsberg, Waugh, Foote, Ricci, Draper. Key players are going to be on record for one of the first times behind the scenes into the toughest, grittiest, angriest rivalry there ever was. Very fired up for this one.
So I wonder if people will like watch Shanahan play hockey again, and if he'll actually be. Oh, now I'm like, I wonder what he'll say on this. And that a lot of these guys have real jobs in hockey now, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shanahan, Eiserman, how much can they actually say about these things without?
He was one of those guys that was beeped out.
Yeah.
Right there and then.
Oh, I could tell, and that's why spicy. I thought about it. I went, huh? I wonder what these guys will actually go on record and say about one another. And how candid they'll actually be, given their positions. Hockey players really never say anything, and so that's even that is okay. Did anybody ever say, I bleepin' hated those guys. I wanted to bleepin' punch somebody. It's like, that's not really candid. That's more just obvious when you're very physical with another team. I am curious to hear what those guys have to say, if they will be open, if they can break their years and years and years and years and years of hockey training and just go, you know what, this is old, this is done, this is past, who cares? It was a great rivalry. It was the rivalry, but like of that era. But I can't wait to watch this. What I think about with those guys now, though, is how hilarious it was when they had the old-timers game between the two teams, and it was actually hate-filled, and it was scrappy, and it was a little intense, and there were those moments of when it was building up to it. Is like, that rivalry was so insane that when we were getting closer to the Heritage Classic version of it, mm-hmm. people went, this is the only one I've ever watched. And I think a lot of people did. I went to a bar to go watch that game. And I'm trying to think what the hell was happening where I would view that as appointment television. But I think that was it. Was, hey, something might happen between these two teams. Hey, these guys all do hate each other. Hey, they're going to actually lace them up and maybe something mm-hmm. a little extra happens. It was a great rivalry. There's so many compelling figures. This is sort of the case for some of these Stanley Cup finals right now. And I've always said the salary cap sucks is... You just don't have teams that have the depth like those two groups had, where you went, oh my God, how many guys that you know of were on that team? How many names do you know were on that team? And now it's not that way. And then when you do accumulate some names that you actually know, they end up on other teams, right? Like you start mm-hmm. to get used to the Tampa Bay Lightning because they're a dynastic team. And then you're watching the Rangers game last night and you go, oh yeah, I know who Barkley Goudreau is because he was on this team. And oh, I know mm-hmm. who Blake Coleman was because he was on that team. For a lot of casual viewers are on the Flames. So I miss having teams like that. And we kind
so
of have that
in Tampa.
That
actually leads me to my question to you is okay. What rivalry do you want to see reignited in sports? So something that existed that might have fallen off. Mm. For me, I'll give you my answer first. This is a text line question too. Leafs Sens. I remember early 2000s, I was growing up watching hockey with my family, sitting on the couch, becoming a hockey player myself. Leafs Sens was the best. Alfredson, Wade Redden, Radek Bonk, Chara, Chris Neal. And then on the other side, you got Domi, Tucker, who's obviously my favorite player, Sundin, McGillney, McCabe, Cujo, Cabrera. Like, that was the best time for me as a young girl growing up watching hockey. I loved that rivalry. Doesn't seem like that's there anymore, right? Leafs Sens.
I loved it, too.
Couldn't care really about it right now. So I would love to see that reignited.
It was a... Leafs Sens, it's so hard for me to see it be captured again because that was such a special time where it needed to be the exact way that it was, which was Ottawa mm-hmm. was on the ascension and that good of a team. Like that fun of a team and that talented of a team. Like, God, they mishandled, they fumbled some bags with the whole Char over Redden thing or whatever, but they had so much talent. They were so loaded. They were so fun to get behind. But my issue with the rivalry, whenever it happened, was it was like the Battle of Ontario, is that mm-hmm. Ottawa, there's just not... You go to Ottawa, I went to university there, and like I was living there during the peak of this rivalry, right? Like I moved there in my grade 11 year, which would have been 2002. And so, yeah, I moved there in 2002, and like... It wasn't that great. It was so great, like being there in that time, and then being there through university, where it was like people were up in each other's faces, and there was a real, yeah, there was a real back and forth. It was awesome. And living in that region, it was great. But if you're living here in Toronto, there's not like Sens fans transplants. Like the way that it is with Montreal is that there's tons of Habs fans that live here, right? You meet them. It's nuts. There's a huge, huge, huge fan base. You go to Boston, obviously, someone like that. It's crazy for the Bruins. The Sens, when they made it to the Stanley Cup that year, it was my first year in university, and they did like Sens Mile. It started to get a little bit big at the conference finals with Ottawa, but it was like nothing. It was a drop in the bucket to all the other Canadian fan bases. It's just not as – it's a passionate fan base that is there, okay? I'm not trying to take shots at Sens fans. Like, for real. It's just that it's such a discrepancy with the big brother, little brother thing. There's such a divide between the like amount of fans each market has that to me now it almost feels like bullying. When the Leafs are better than the Sens, it just drops off right away. It's not like Edmonton, Calgary, where the it's close in size, close. It's just not. It's just there's so many more Leafs fans. They take over their building every single game. Like even when the Leafs sucked and they were getting hammered, you would go to those games and it would be
like a home game.
At worst, 60-40 split for Leafs fans.
Okay, here's one that might be closer then. So like I feel like I'm with you.
I want it back. I think it was a great rivalry, but I just feel like for whatever reason, it's like the regionality is not really enough alone. Mm-hmm. And I think there's more to it as to why we haven't really had any juice in that rivalry since the early 2000s.
Okay, this one I think you're going to like Lakers Celtics. Oops, sorry.
That
MJ Larry Bird era, but you wanted to talk about the Jason Tatum thing and how he maybe didn't know about the rivalry as well
no,
as he did
teasing.
With the armband. I know, but that's something that could be, you know, is it as like reignited as before? Is that something that has legs that can be as fiery? You think it's still that fiery? Okay.
Yeah, I do. I think that, I was joking with you guys in the text line about Tatum and how I was like, I wish he didn't wear the purple one because it was just so Lakers and it's a game seven for the Celtics. And I went like, I grew up on that rivalry, big time. That was the first rivalry that introduced me to rivalries, that and Leafs Canadians. There was like an old VHS called Forever Rivals between the Leafs and the Habs. And I remember watching that and going,
VHS?
Yeah, I know. When I was a kid. But yeah, Celtics Lakers was always one. But to me, that's always there. It's like history. Well, just the history takes over with that. No, they haven't faced in the finals anymore because we have a more modern day NBA. But no, that's very much there. There are some that just exist in perpetuity because the history of the two things reaches back so deep. Like I think the Celtics and the Lakers first place in the finals in 1958. Like you can't replicate that with other stuff. When I think about when you're going, can you reignite a rivalry? It's like a modern day thing where you go, okay, well, what regional rivalry actually matters? What rivalry is actually good? And I would take, like, this has been the gambit of the NHL. They tried to be like, we'll put in these stupid playoff formats and we'll completely go at the expense of having better conference finals matchups, having a little bit more fairness from a dogfight of a regular season, the fact that we've already got all this parity, we're still going to take away from major markets when they have the sub. We'll do all these things so that we can create rivalries. And it has not worked. I cannot think of one rivalry that has been created from this format. Like, we just got back-to-back years of Tampa and Florida and back-to-back years where these two teams are supposed to be really good. And the first year was pretty fun, and it was really chippy. And then guess what? The second year, Tampa just steamrolls them. Mm-hmm. And there's no rivalry budding there. There's nothing percolating off of that. What matchups have we gotten that make you feel there's more hate towards a team or another fan base? I would say that Leafs Bruins is a little bit bigger now.
That's basically the only one that comes to mind, and maybe it's because we're also living it. And I lived in Boston during the time, and that's also adds to it.
and they're also both original six franchises. Mm-hmm. They did face each other in 2013 before this random playoff format. And again, it's kind of the big brother little brother thing, where in order for there to be a rivalry, one of the other teams has to have moments of success. It can't just be bullying and trauma for the other group. So when they go, oh well, we finally got a Battle of Alberta, I go, yeah, it's cool, but we probably would have got that in round two anyway, just statistically, without trying to rig this entire thing to work out this way. I have not felt like, wow, we've gotten a series that we need to watch because of markets. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's possible anymore. This one, I'm kind of hoping that with this, McDavid, McCarr, it gets back to what we talked about yesterday, how sometimes guys, or it wasn't yesterday, we talked about this last week, with Vladdy and Trout, where the teammates get up for the battle. The teammates get up for it because they know it's more marquee. The animosity ticks up, and then a rivalry is created off of it. I guess like my answer to your question would be, I'm not so much looking for a reignition of a rivalry, because I think that unless it's historical, mm-hmm. right? Unless it is a regional historical rivalry, then you can't really recapture those things. Like when Sid and Ovi are gone, there's not going to be any juice between the Pens and Caps. It's not going to be the same ever again. But that's what I'm hoping for from this series. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that what we get out of a Oilers Avalanche series is the new version of this. It's never going to be the same in terms of guys laying the lumber the same way, the amount of fights, the amount of blood, maybe the amount of hate that ends up happening. But I do want to see Evander Kane be a villain mm-hmm. in Colorado. I do want to see Nazem Kadri hated in Edmonton. I do want to see guys beaking at each other. I want to see McDavid say some stuff to MacKinnon, have them back their teammates, talk a little trash. That would be awesome. That would be really, really great for hockey, is if some of the biggest stars in the game could dislike each other. Like, it would be awesome. And remember, there's some moments where this happens. This is why P.K. Subban was so great, is he wasn't afraid to mix it up with guys. The P.K. Sid thing was so corny and lame with the mouthwash stuff, and P.K. was just trying so hard to get under people's skin that those rounds. But we remember things like that. We remember when there's real animosity. And so, Nathan MacKinnon, you want to talk about escrow and how you're going to get more eyeballs and if you actually care about this stuff? And I wish hockey players did. I really do. I wish all pro athletes did, because I think that there is a less of a stewardship of these games than maybe a lot of fans want there to be. You want it to be natural. You don't want it to be forced, for the same reason you don't want a fight to be a fake fight. You want it to be a real fight, right? When it's staged and it's just two heavyweights that drop the mitts and you go, oh, this is kind of lame. But if it's two guys that just passionately get into a fight, you go, oh, this is awesome. This is what's great about hockey. You want the rivalry to be real, but I hope that they just kind of have some unhinged moments, that they just have some times where they're just like really fired up and really mad at each other, and something a little controversial happens, a big hit happens, nobody gets hurt.
I wouldn't doubt that that's hopefully how the series goes. Like, you know, seeing them. Well, we'll have to find out tonight.
I'm hopeful.
I am hopeful.
But, yeah, just some of the personalities.
Spice
in it.
Up.
I'm mm-hmm. curious if it is going to go down that way. But, yeah, that's the rivalry I think I'm looking for. Is this one seems to have all the key ingredients. They're two of the right teams at the right time with the right players. And can this actually happen? Can you build off of this? There's a bunch of certainty in terms of the rosters moving forward. Again, Colorado's probably going to lose Nazem Kadri this offseason. But for the most part, and maybe Kemper, and maybe the Oilers don't have their goalie next year either. That it's a turnover. But for the most part, the rosters are kind of in place. Like, a lot of these key figures are going to be there year over year. And what happens if you do go 7 in this one? It feels great. And then the following year, both those teams should technically be there again. So that's how these things happen, is through multiple reps and through regular season games. That's the other part of rivalries, too, that sucks. Not to ramble on, but... Well, but I don't think any of the players care the same way during regular season games anymore. Mm. Like, I think that the regular season has been so diminished that it's not... Like, in the NBA, when we're talking about Lakers versus Celtics, I think that the NBA, there's guys that would get rest day that day. You go, oh, whatever, this was a day where LeBron had scheduled rest. In the NHL, there's just not the same amount of fighting. This is losing goons, losing a lot of hitting, losing a lot of checking. Like, did you hear Bourne yesterday where he was talking about how a guy like Trouba has more value right now because guys don't pay attention on the ice the same way, where mm-hmm. they're like oblivious almost to the fact that there might be a heavy open hitter. And I think that's true. So when you eliminate hitting and you eliminate some of the guys who fight, there is less tension in that regard. Like, the physical play is dipped down and the fighting is dipped down. Not that fighting always happens in the playoffs anyways, but I don't know. It's going to be tough to do it. I guess I'm going to have to shift what a rivalry is and what a rivalry means to me and what I hope from a rivalry, but there's a lot in this one. I'm very, very excited about this series. Like, this is as excited as I've been for a Stanley Cup series, like a Stanley mm-hmm. Cup playoff series in a while that didn't involve the Leafs. Truly, this is like a wow! I cannot wait for tonight. Like I cannot wait for Puck Drop. Who better to talk about it with Jeff Merrick? Is Andrei Vasilevsky already the greatest goalie of all time? That's next on the Fan Morning Show. JD and Ailish, Sports 5 Night of the Fan.